You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com. You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Okay, picture this for a second. You're driving along, maybe commuting, minding your own business, and suddenly there's this weird noise, a rattle maybe, coming from the engine. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're just scrolling through news online and bam, this headline hits you. Massive recall. Hundreds of thousands of cars, maybe even your car's model.
Right, and your stomach just drops a little, doesn't it?
Exactly. You start thinking, is it safe? What's wrong? What does this mean for me? It just kicks off this whole spiral of questions.
Yeah, completely understandable.
Well, today, that's exactly the kind of situation we're jumping into. We're looking at a really huge automotive recall just announced by Stellantis.
A big one.
Yeah, and it affects a massive number of vehicles across some really popular brands people drive every day.
And we're basing this deep dive primarily on an article from alvolante.at, right? Published July 4th, 2025, titled Stellantis. Maxi Richiamo per Ultra 600.0 diesel.
That's the one. But you know, it's not just the official news. What makes this really interesting are the comments. Hundreds of them.
Oh, yeah. Real owners, enthusiasts.
Yeah.
They don't hold back, do they? Yeah. It gives you that raw, ground-level perspective you don't get from a press release.
Totally. So our mission today is to really unpack this whole thing. What's the technical problem? How big is this, really?
And, you know, step back a bit, too. Look at the bigger picture manufacturing, what this does to consumer trust,
yeah,
all of that.
Exactly. And most importantly, what does it mean for you listening? Whether your car is actually involved or you're just curious about, you know, how this industry works.
Right. We want to go beyond just the headlines, pull out the surprising details, make sense of the complex bits, and really understand what's going on.
Because these things, these recalls, they aren't just about metal and engines, are they? They're about trust, safety, corporate responsibility. It's a window into a huge industry.
It really is. So, should we get started?
Let's do it. Okay, first things first. The scale of this Stellantis recall. When you hear the number, it's pretty staggering.
It really is. The Alvolante article, citing France Press, puts the figure at approximately 636,000 units affected globally.
Wow. 636,000.
Yeah. Nearly two-thirds of a million vehicles. Think about that. For basically one core engine issue.
Yeah.
That's massive.
It's almost hard to wrap your head around. What does a number like that actually, you know, tell us beyond just it's a lot?
Well, it tells you a few key things, I think. Mm-hmm. First, obviously, this 1.5 Blue HDI engine must be everywhere in their lineup.
Right. Not some niche thing.
Definitely not. Mm. It's clearly a workhorse for them across loads of different models. It shows how deeply embedded it is in their production.
Okay.
Second, the time frame. The affected cars were built between 2017 and 2023. That's a long stretch.
Yes, 6 years.
Exactly. That suggests it's probably not just a bad batch of parts from, you know, one Tuesday afternoon. Mm-hmm. It points more towards something potentially more fundamental.
Like a design issue or maybe materials.
Could be. Or maybe a consistent issue in how they were made over that whole period. Mm. It definitely raises questions about quality control over those years. How did it persist for so long before this huge recall?
And it's not just one brand feeling the pain either, is it? The article lists quite a few.
That's right. We're talking Peugeot, Citroën, Opel, DS, and even Fiat.
So a real cross-section of the Stellantis group.
Absolutely. It shows just how wide the impact is. It's not just, say, Peugeot owners worrying. It hits customers across different market segments, different price points. It makes it very real for a huge number of people.
Okay, so the scale is enormous. Hundreds of thousands of cars, multiple major brands, years of production. Let's get to the heart of it then. What is the actual problem with this 1.5 Blue HDI engine?
Okay, the core issue according to the report, is potential premature wear of the camshaft timing chain.
The timing chain. Okay, for those of us maybe less mechanically minded, what does that actually do? Why is it so critical?
Think of it like the conductor of the engine's orchestra, or maybe the choreographer.
Okay, I like that.
Its job is to keep the crankshaft, which is connected to the pistons going up and down, perfectly synchronized to the camshafts. And the camshafts control the valves, letting air and fuel in and exhaust out.
So timing is literally everything here.
Absolutely critical. Millisecond precision. If they get out of sync, the engine runs poorly, or, well, it doesn't run at all.
And the article stresses premature wear. That sounds significant.
It is. That's the key word. This isn't just a part getting old after, say, 15 years and tons of miles. Premature wear strongly suggests something's not right with the chain itself. Maybe the design, the metal it's made from, or how it was manufactured, it's failing much, much sooner than it should.
Right.
And it's fascinating, isn't it, how one sort of hidden component can potentially bring down the whole system.
Mm-hmm.
Really shows how interconnected everything is under the hood.
You mentioned bring down the whole system. The article talks about abnormal engine function, weird noises. But what's the worst case scenario here if this premature wear isn't caught?
Yeah, initially you might get those noises rattling, clanking, maybe a whirring sound. Performance might feel sluggish, just off.
Okay.
But the most severe outcome, the really dangerous one, is if that worn chain actually breaks, snaps, while you're driving.
Whoa, what happens then?
Well, that perfect synchronization is instantly gone. The pistons are still flying up and down, but the valves controlled by the camshafts are now stuck or in the wrong place.
Oh, I can see where this is going.
Yep. Pistons hit valves hard, and that causes catastrophic internal damage. Bent valves, damaged pistons, maybe damage to the cylinder head, the camshafts themselves. Basically, you're looking at a potentially destroyed engine.
So not just a repair bill, but potentially needing a whole new engine or even writing the car off.
It could absolutely come to that. Yes. Very expensive damage.
And that raises a huge safety question, doesn't it? If your engine suddenly catastrophically fails while you're, say, on the motorway, what does that mean for controlling the car?
That's the critical safety concern.
Hmm.
A sudden engine failure like that often means you instantly lose power system.
For steering and brakes.
Exactly. The steering wheel becomes incredibly heavy, almost impossible to turn quickly. And the brake pedal needs massive force to slow the car down.
So controlling the car becomes extremely difficult.
Extremely. Especially at speed or in traffic. It creates a really significant risk, not just for the people in the car, but for everyone else on the road too.
That's sobering. But the article does mention a crucial detail from Stellantis.
Yes, and it's very important to highlight this. Stellantis has stated, and the article reports, that as of that date, there have been no registered incidents or injuries directly linked to this specific defect.
Okay, that's reassuring to a degree. What does that detail mean, though, for Stellantis and for consumers?
Well, for Stellantis, getting ahead of it like this, announcing the recall before accidents happen, looks proactive. It suggests they identified a serious potential risk, and they're acting to prevent harm.
So it's partly managing risk and reputation.
Absolutely. It shows responsibility, potentially avoids worse outcomes like injuries or fatalities, and the massive legal and financial fallout that would follow. For consumers, it means, okay, the potential for a serious failure is there, and it's real, but the company is trying to fix it before people get hurt.
Which makes taking action if your car is affected even more urgent.
Exactly. It underscores why owners need to respond to the recall notice. It's kind of a race against time to get the fixes done before that potential risk becomes a reality for someone. It's that tightrope walk between transparency and causing panic.
Okay, so let's talk practical steps. If you're listening and thinking, hang on, I have a Peugeot or a Citroen from that time frame, what's the very first thing you should do?
The message from Stellantis is crystal clear. Contact your authorized dealer or service network immediately. That's step one.
Don't wait.
Schedule that verification appointment. It's really crucial not to put this off, even if your car seems fine right now.
Okay, so you take the car in. What actually happens during that verification? The article mentions a software update and maybe an oil change. That sounds, well, a bit surprising for a physical timing chain problem.
It does sound a bit indirect at first glance, doesn't it? But it's actually quite clever. Stellantis has developed a specialized diagnostic tool, basically an app, for their repairers.
Right.
And this tool uses acoustic analysis. It literally listens to the engine with very sensitive microphones.
Like a doctor using a stethoscope.
Exactly like that. It's trained to pick up the very subtle early sounds of wear on the timing chain, sounds that a human ear probably wouldn't detect yet. It's predictive maintenance, essentially.
So it's about detecting the problem super early, not actually fixing the chain with software.
Precisely. The software update might tweak engine parameters slightly, maybe to reduce stress on the chain under certain conditions. The oil change could involve using a specific type of oil designed to offer better protection or lubrication for the chain.
Ah, okay. So they're preventative or diagnostic measures.
Yes. They're trying to slow down any potential wear or gather more data, while the acoustic test does the real diagnostic heavy lifting. And the article says this acoustic test will happen not just at the recall visit, but at every future service appointment too.
Wow, so ongoing monitoring.
Yeah, it suggests they see this as something needing long-term vigilance, not just a one-time fix for everyone. It's about managing the risk across the fleet over time.
That makes sense. It's a smarter way than just replacing chains on over 600,000 cars up front. So what is the actual fix if that acoustic test flags a problem?
If the system detects an anomaly, if it hears that premature wear starting, then they perform a preventative replacement of the timing chain.
The full mechanical fix.
The full mechanical fix, yes. Done at an official dealer, and importantly, at no cost to the customer. This targets the intervention only to the vehicles that actually show signs of the defect.
Which, given the numbers, must be a huge logistical challenge anyway. How do they even manage servicing that many cars? The article mentions a gradual rollout.
The logistics are mind-boggling, honestly. Think about it. Coordinating parts, training technicians, managing dealership capacity across multiple countries. It's a massive operation.
Yeah, you can't just have 600,000 cars turn up at workshops tomorrow.
Exactly. So they're doing it gradually. And crucially, they're prioritizing the older vehicles first.
Why the older ones specifically?
It makes sense from a risk perspective, doesn't it? Older cars generally have more miles on the clock. Their timing chains have been working longer, under more stress cycles.
So they're statistically more likely to be closer to failure.
That's the thinking. By tackling the highest risk group first, Stellantis can hopefully prevent the most imminent potential failures, protect those customers, and buy themselves time to ramp up the recall for the newer vehicles in the range. It's a pragmatic approach.
Okay, now here's something that really caught my eye and seems like a big deal for owners. An extended warranty.
Yes, this is very significant.
The article says full coverage for 10 years or up to 240,000 kilometers. That covers the repair cost completely. That sounds unusually generous.
It is unusually generous compared to standard warranties. Most are, what, 3, maybe 5 years? And often with lower mileage caps, like 100K, 150K kilometers.
Right.
So extending this specific coverage to 10 years or 240,000 kilometers is a major commitment. It sends a strong signal.
What kind of signal?
It signals that Stellantis acknowledges this could be a long-term potential issue, maybe even appearing later in the vehicle's life. And it's a powerful way to reassure customers. Look, we know this is a concern, but we'll stand behind this component for a very long time.
So for the listener, that means real peace of mind. Protection against a potentially huge repair bill down the road.
Absolutely. It's a tangible financial safety net related specifically to this timing chain issue.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call because real protection means showing up. Even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Potentially covering it for what many people would consider the usable life of the car. It's a strong show of responsibility, I think.
Definitely. But what about people who were unlucky enough to have this timing chain break before the recall? And maybe they already paid a fortune to get it fixed. Are they just out of luck?
No, and that's another crucial piece of information in the article. It explicitly states that customers who already paid for repairs related to this specific chain breakage might be eligible for reimbursement.
Okay, that's really important for anyone in that boat. It must have been incredibly frustrating.
Hugely frustrating and expensive. So this offers a potential path to recover those costs. It shows they're looking backwards as well as forwards.
So if someone listening is in that situation, what do they need to do? What's the process?
Documentation is absolutely key here. You need to gather everything.
Like receipts.
Yes. Original invoices for the repair work, any estimates you got beforehand, and critically, any workshop reports or diagnoses that clearly link the problem to the timing chain or something directly related. proof, basically.
Okay, get all the paperwork together, then what?
Then contact Stellantis customer service directly. Present your case clearly, calmly, with all the evidence.
And what if? What if Stellantis says no or makes it difficult?
This is where the article gives some excellent advice. Consider approaching a consumer association.
Right, like a watchdog group.
Exactly. These organizations exist to help consumers navigate disputes with companies. They know the process, they have leverage, and they can offer invaluable support if you hit a brick wall dealing directly with the manufacturer. It gives people another avenue, another layer of support.
Good practical advice. Okay, let's shift gears a bit. Looking beyond just this specific recall, the comments section on that Alvalante article is, well, it's quite revealing, isn't it? It suggests this isn't happening in a vacuum for Stellantis.
No, definitely not. It opens up a whole can of worms, really. The article itself mentions the famigerato PureTech engine, the notorious PureTech.
Which has had its own well-publicized issues.
Precisely. And then the comments just pile on. People bring up other engine problems from the past, a 1.6 turbo petrol from years ago, for example.
And they use some pretty harsh nicknames, too, like EcoBoom or Pure Trash.
They do. It shows real frustration and a lack of faith among some owners. Someone even mentions another issue with this same 1.5 Blue HDI engine, something about the AdBlue tank, the Serbatoio della Serena.
So multiple potential issues, even with this specific engine.
It seems that way, according to some comments. It paints a picture, rightly or wrongly, of this engine family having several weak points, not just the timing chain.
So connecting those dots, the feeling seems to be that this recall isn't just a one-off, but maybe part of a wider pattern of engine troubles for Stellantis or its previous brands.
That's certainly the perception coming through strongly in the comments. It suggests that for many consumers, these issues are starting to accumulate and damage overall confidence in the brand's engineering.
It becomes less about an issue and more about the issue of reliability in general.
Exactly. It builds a narrative. And one user, Layla1998, even compares this situation directly to BMW's infamous N47 engine problems.
Ooh, that's a potent comparison. Those N47 issues were serious.
Very serious and widely known. So making that comparison immediately elevates the perceived severity of this Stellantis problem in people's minds. It taps into that shared memory of major engine failures from another big manufacturer. That kind of consumer comparison can be incredibly damaging.
And digging into the why behind this, there's that alleged Carlos Tavares quote that pops up in the comments.
Ah, yes, the client never opens the hood comment.
Whether he actually said it or not, it clearly touched a nerve. It sparked a whole debate about PSA versus former FCA engines, too.
It really did. That quote, real or apocryphal, feeds into a suspicion, doesn't it? A suspicion that maybe the focus shifted away from hardcore mechanical reliability towards things like, I don't know, fancy touchscreens or cost-cutting under the surface.
Suggesting a change in philosophy, maybe post-merger?
That's the implication some users draw. Is there a perception that integrating PSA and FCA led to compromises? You see people passionately defending the old FCA engine, saying they were more robust.
Right.
It becomes a debate about the company's core values and engineering priorities, not just a technical fault. Did the drive for synergy or cost savings impact long-term durability? That's the underlying question people are asking.
It definitely broadens the conversation. And speaking of perceptions, there's a real split in how people view the recall itself. Some see it as proof of poor quality, like that user saying Stellantis is committing suicide.
Yeah, basically saying they're shooting themselves in the foot by admitting fault.
But others argue the complete opposite. They say not doing the recall would be suicide and point to companies like Toyota, who recall cars frequently but still have a great reputation.
It's a fascinating dichotomy, isn't it? Is a recall a sign of failure or a sign of responsibility?
What's your take on that?
Well, fundamentally, a recall is an admission of a defect. You can't get around that. And too many recalls or recalls for very serious issues can definitely erode trust over time. That's the committing suicide view.
Mm-hmm.
But the counterargument is strong, too. A company that acts quickly, openly, offers a proper fix, maybe even goes above and beyond with something like that extended warranty, that can actually build trust in the long run. It shows they stand by their product and prioritize customer safety.
Like the Toyota example suggests.
Exactly. And then there's that comment suggesting some other manufacturers, maybe German ones, might try to handle issues quietly during servicing, passing costs to the customer instead of issuing a formal recall.
Which, if true, makes a public recall look almost honest by comparison.
In a way, yes. It frames transparency itself as a virtue, even when admitting a flaw. It really depends on how the recall is handled and the company's overall track record. It's complex.
It really is. And the comments didn't just stick to engines, did they? People brought up other issues, even with electric vehicles.
No, the net was cast much wider. Mentions of problems with air conditioning, onboard chargers, OBCs, high voltage wiring, charging port issues on EVs.
All seemingly without official recalls, according to these users.
That was the perception expressed, yes. And an airbag recall was mentioned too, though attributed to an outside supplier.
So even though it's not directly related to the 1.5 Blue HDI timing chain, it adds to this overall cloud of concern.
It contributes to a broader picture, definitely. For some commentators, it creates this feeling of, as one put it, ciega mi vista, unheard of bad luck. Like the company is just lurching from one problem to another across different technologies. It shows how quickly a specific issue can become part of a larger narrative about the brand's overall quality and reliability, whether that's entirely fair or not. It becomes a sort of where there's smoke, there's fire situation in the minds of some consumers.
Okay, so we've really dug deep here, the scale, the technical details, the solutions, the warranty, the wider context, the passionate, sometimes angry owner comments. Let's try and crystallize this. What does all this mean for you, the person listening right now?
Well, first and foremost, if you own a Stellantis vehicle, particularly one with that 1.5 Blue HDI engine from 2017-2023, the takeaway is immediate and practical. Check if your car is part of this recall. Now,
use the official channels, contact your dealer.
Absolutely. Don't delay. Get that verification booked. It's about your safety and potentially preventing very expensive engine damage. Proactivity is key here.
And for those who might have already paid for a timing chain repair before this recall?
Hold on to your paperwork. Every invoice, every diagnosis report, every estimate. That documentation is crucial if you want to pursue reimbursement.
And don't be afraid to seek help if needed.
Definitely. Remember those consumer associations. They exist to help in exactly these kinds of situations if you feel you're not getting a fair response directly from the company. Know your rights and the support available.
Okay, shifting from current owners to maybe future buyers or just car enthusiasts, how does a deep dive like this change how you should approach buying a car? What questions should you be asking?
I think it really underscores the need to look beyond the surface. Don't just be swayed by the fancy features or the sleek design.
Look under the hood, metaphorically speaking.
Exactly. Ask tougher questions. What's the track record of this specific engine? Are there known issues discussed widely in owner forums? What's the history of recalls for this model or engine family? Where are key components sourced from?
Do your homework beyond the showroom gloss.
Absolutely. Dig into independent reliability reports, long-term owner reviews, and yes, even read the comments sections on articles like the one we discussed. Real-world experience often tells a different story than the marketing material. Become a more critical researcher.
And in this age of constant online chatter, conflicting opinions, how does understanding the details of recall like this help you cut through the noise, become a smarter consumer overall?
It's about learning to weigh different sources of information. You have the official company line, you have expert analysis, and you have the raw lived experience of owners.
Mm-hmm.
Understanding a recall in depth helps you evaluate all of that more critically. Are the owner complaints isolated incidents, or do they point to a genuine pattern? Is the company's response adequate and transparent, or does it feel like spin?
It helps you build your own filter for information.
Precisely. You learn to spot inconsistencies, assess risk more realistically, and distinguish between genuine problems and perhaps just general grumbling. It makes you less likely to be swayed by hype or panic and more able to form your own informed judgment.
And ultimately, even though a recall is often seen as negative news, there's actually a lot to be learned from digging into it, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. There's a real satisfaction in understanding the engineering involved, the corporate strategies at play, the role of consumer rights. It's fascinating stuff.
It moves you from being just a passive consumer to someone who actually understands the forces shaping the products you use every day.
Exactly. It's empowering. Knowledge about how things work and how industries operate is always valuable.
Okay, so let's recap. We've dissected this huge Stellantis 1.5 Blue HDI, recall the sheer number of cars, the timing chain problem, the acoustic diagnostics, the extended warranty.
We have explored the practical steps for owners, the potential for reimbursement, and crucially, we've listened to the voices of consumers, connecting this recall to broader concerns about PureTech engines, PSA versus SCA legacies, and overall brand perception.
Right. We saw how one technical fault can trigger wide-ranging discussions about everything from corporate responsibility to the very definition of quality in today's complex automotive landscape.
It highlights that tension between admitting flaws and maintaining trust, and how companies navigate that delicate balance.
So, as we finish up, here's something to chew on, a final thought. What does an incident like this, focused on a traditional diesel engine, really signal about the future? Especially as the whole industry is pivoting so hard towards electric vehicles.
That's a great question.
Are we going to see more of these kinds of complex, potentially costly issues with internal combustion engines as manufacturers perhaps shift their main R&D focus and maybe investment elsewhere? Will legacy technology become more prone to failure?
Or is it just swapping one set of potential problems for another? Will electric vehicles bring their own unique, complex challenges? Things like battery longevity, charging system reliability, sophisticated software glitches that end up causing similar levels of consumer frustration and recall headaches down the line.
Yeah, it's not like EVs are magically problem-free.
Exactly. So the bigger question might be, how much risk, how much potential trouble are we as consumers willing to accept? Whether it's for the sake of innovation, adopting new tech like EVs, or maybe just getting a more affordable vehicle, regardless of what powers it. Where's that line between acceptable teething problems and unacceptable unreliability in this rapidly changing world of mobility?
A lot to think about there. What does reliability even mean in the next decade of cars?
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.